Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation.
There he was. He was walking around the desk.
Yeah, Ollie started and I thought, I've got loads of time to get round to the desk, but it turns out I actually didn't.
No.
The chair is really low.
And my chair was really high.
What is happening?
What's been going on?
That's that Laurie and Simon.
It's a sort of banter that goes on in the office. What a rib by those two.
That, or it's just sabotage. Mm. Could be either way. But hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you? Apart from hungry.
So I was just saying to Luke before we started, my one aim today was to have a lunch break. And I didn't get to do that. That's why the podcast intro and outro will be about 5 minutes shorter overall, which implied that I had a lunch. I did eat lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So I ate lunch while I was finishing off AEW, posting the video and replying to comments.
Sorry, my chair is all over the show.
I feel like there might be a few gaps in my Dynamite review. I'm worried I'm going to say something definitively, because I know what I thought of the show, really enjoyed it. And then someone's going to go, oh, but it's the Million Dollar Man's rest, sleep.
Well, I mean, I've looked through the comments today and they were all like, they've been doing picture in picture since the first episode. I'm like, yeah. In one match.
Mm.
Now they're doing it through every commercial break.
Everyone.
And hammering home the point that it's picture in picture.
Yeah.
So it is different. But I've only got 4 minutes to review this thing. I can't go into too much detail. That's what this show's here for.
I'm sure it was in no way related to NXT beating them in the last 2 weeks.
I have absolutely all the confidence in the world that this was always the plan. This is what they'd always had in mind.
Yeah, I think the sort of... It's normalised now, the NXT-AEW conflict. Now that AEW have taken a few knocks on the chin, I feel like the building up sexual tension between everyone has blasted off a little bit, and now it's a bit more level.
No, I would disagree on that, because the NXT stans have now got their first victories under their belt, which means it's now shifted in the other direction of like, AEW is dying. They're the terrible company. So we've just got to have... It'll be a few... I'd say 6 months where you've had almost like an even split before there will be no awfulness within comments.
And that'll never go away.
I mean, it'll never fully go away.
Because of tribalism. Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like it's been a bit... Because I think one of the things that has made the NXT... vocal fandom very AEW negative is partly that they were winning for 7 weeks.
Yeah.
But now they've essentially, you know, they've managed to blow that load.
They beat AEW and they've beaten WWE at Survivor Series.
Yes. So now they're not overcompensating so much. I don't know, but maybe I'm wrong.
But anyway, do you want a Rusev Hey?
Rusev Hey!
This comes in from your friend of mine, Samed Ali.
Hey!
who says, "Hey everyone, this is my first email. I was waiting till I did something meaningful so I could send an email about it. Anyway, there was a wrestling signing in Manchester, on November 9th. I know you're probably all wondering why I'm sending this so late. Answer is, I'm lazy. And a couple of weeks before, I had no clue about it until my cousin told me, and he said he was going to be there to meet Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch were there on November 9th in Manchester. Like, they're here next week because they're doing the Gorilla Position show. Just strikes me that they have got two meet and greets effectively in 2 months. You'd have thought they'd have done them all when they were just here once.
Yeah, but that would require some level of planning the European tour.
Perhaps,
which is something they don't do, because every year they're like, oh, but we've got a Saudi Arabia show to run.
Did they do a European tour at the start of November?
Yes. It's traditional.
Was I here?
Maybe you're in Japan.
Maybe
you would have been in Japan, wouldn't you?
Yeah, maybe that's why I don't remember this. All right, well, that makes more sense as to why Seth and Becky were here then. Okay, I take that all back then. If I was a competent editor, I'd have just taken that out of the podcast.
Nah, that's what we keep him.
Anywho, as the day got closer, I got more nervous because I've never interacted with a celebrity before or met one. Obviously, apart from you guys at the New Japan Royal Quest show.
He came to meet us.
So I decided to watch videos on YouTube of people interacting with celebrities to see what they what not to do. It did not help. The day came, and I still don't know what to say, so I thought I would just wing it. I was waiting in line to meet Seth first, and it really didn't cross my mind that I was going to meet him. Like, it didn't seem real until Seth walked past us, and I literally marked down. It was crazy seeing him right in front of me. It was finally my turn. I went up and I said, "Hey, Mr. Rollins." Yeah, I hate myself too. He laughed and said, "You can just call me Seth, man." And I shook his hand. His hand was very soft. So I'm a big fan of his since he started in the Shield, and I didn't want to bring up his Twitter game lately. He said he was really appreciating me coming down and took a picture. Also, my cousin got a picture with Seth, but he only paid for me to get a picture, so he basically got a free picture there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Now, Becky Lynch. After meeting Seth, I got in the queue to meet Becky, and it was finally my turn, and I walked up to say, "Hey, the man." Again, I hate myself. Immediately regretted, but she laughed and said, "Hey," and said, "Cool t-shirt," because I was wearing a man t-shirt. I told her how awesome she was and how great the Rousey feud was. I didn't bring up any of the things that ruined the feud going into Mania. I mainly talked to her about the Survivor Series angle last year, and I said it was so awesome and badass, and she looked so cool. She said, "Thank you, really appreciate the support." Feels like that's the stock phrase that both of them have got.
Yes.
Yep. And I asked to get the picture with the man, and I was like, "Yep, got the picture." I said goodbye, shook her hand. Her hands were a lot softer than Seth's.
Interesting. I thought Seth, the fact that you mentioned that Seth had really soft hands, I just assumed it would be on the same level of softness.
Mm.
But no, Becky has softer hands. And you know, you're grappling, you're picking people up, you're training all the time. You're going to get calluses on the bits, you know, the inside of your knuckles.
And she's been holding that title for so long.
They're heavy.
Heavy titles, man.
Wow, I would not have expected them to have such beautiful soft hands. That surely has to be the next sign. We've had Seth Rollins is not cool. We've had Seth Rollins rides e-scooters.
Yep.
Seth Rollins moisturizes his hands.
Seth Rollins has soft hands.
Yeah.
We have got some pictures. Here is our man Samad with the nice man Becky Lynch. And there, next one across, is a picture of him with Seth.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice work, Samad. I hate meeting celebrities.
Are you going to say people for a second?
People. I get so anxious and I can't think of what to say. And then it happens, and the bit where it's happening, it's a blur in my head.
Yeah.
Because it's only like a minute.
Oh, yeah,
max.
If that.
Even
yeah.
junkets that we've done, like, you know, stuff in the past, like 5-10 minutes, blur. I'm not enjoying any of that.
Yeah.
I'm somewhere else. Someone else is doing that interview.
You get very sweaty.
And then afterwards, it comes by, like, I'm back in the room. I'm like, oh, God, what did I say?
Yeah.
And I there was something I filmed a few months ago. I haven't watched it back. Because I just felt so anxious about it. But you don't mind.
No, I'm usually okay. They're just like you and I.
You lack self-awareness, though.
But I think that's probably what it is. Like, I'll go in there and make a goof of myself, and then I'll be like, oh, well, you know, that happened. They won't remember it.
No, there's nothing to them.
I will. I'll remember it for the rest of my life.
I'm sure when they met you, Simon, it did mean everything to them, and they do remember it. But for my interactions, I'm sure they do not remember any of it.
Right, well, let's get into the show itself, and I've got another Rusev hate to do in the outro portion of this podcast. Let's jump into it and have AEW save their women's division. Is it fixed? Here's the show.
AEW Dynamite. Overall, a really good show.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was a really, really good show this week. Mm. Last week's show was a bit of a... I don't want to say it was a dud. It was, like, middling. It was a middle-of-the-roads episode.
It was the least best episode they've made.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is, by default, the worst.
Yeah, absolutely. And then this week just felt like... This felt like 2 weeks of losing to NXT and be like, boop, I think we've rested on our laurels. We need to pull something out of our bags here. Let's start off by making sure that no one switches over to NXT in the ad breaks, and we'll just have picture-in-picture on every single ad break and have Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone shout, picture-in-picture, as we're about to go to ad break.
Yeah. But one of the things they've seemed to have taken steps to address, not just people switching over to NXT during commercials, is the women's division.
Yes.
It's probably been the largest criticism, like the largest genuine criticism I've had of AEW, apart from them just inexplicably bringing out live animals in front of thousands of people with pyro. It's how they put so much stock and PR announcements into how they're going to have a leading women's division. And they, you know, that, but really, it's the tag division. It's the tag and the men's singles divisions that really have the most resources put into it.
Yeah.
And then down here is the women's division.
Yeah.
Which doesn't gel with all the stuff Kenny Omega, Brandy, and the rest of the team said in the build-up to the launch of Dynamite.
It has been, yeah, the biggest letdown of AEW thus far. That we are in week 10 of the Dynamite era. We're actually nearly, you know, come January 1st, it's 1 year since the announcement of AEW.
Yeah.
So if you want to say that, like, All Out was, you know, that's sort of your starting point. You don't, I mean, you really should count Double or Nothing. But even if you ain't count Double or Nothing, there's been one really big women's storyline. And that came about by an accident.
Mm.
And it led to a pre-show match.
Yeah.
And there's been little else.
Yeah, so and I think the sort of tipping point where everyone were like, oh, come on, you should be doing better with this, is that Rio... I can never say her name.
Emi Sakura.
My brain just wants to say Sakura. Emi Sakura match, which has so much context there, but it was only set up for the women's title like 5 days before the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was on the go-home show for the pay-per-view. Really, really a shame. I found out recently, Emi Sakura has only recently discovered Queen.
Whoa.
I know. Yeah, I was talking to someone about it the other day, and they were like, oh yeah, she's literally just discovered them, like within the last sort of 6 months or so. I think it was probably like before Double or Nothing, because she was doing it there.
Yeah.
Maybe it's within the last year. It was when she saw Bohemian Rhapsody. And then she was like, when she was in America, she was watching it every single week she was in America. And has just become obsessed with Freddie Mercury ever since.
Well, good. It's a great gimmick.
I said to them, I was like, I'm stunned to hear that it's new. Because she's incorporated it all into her repertoire so much that you feel like, oh, this has been her gimmick for decades.
Yeah, because it's a band that were mostly popular in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
So the AEW took steps to sort of compensate for this. Last week they introduced, it's Chris Statlander, which I think Tony Khan loves because it's got the word stat in.
Yep. It also, I mean, it makes me think of the classic 80s horror movie, Children of the Corn, where you are an Outlander! And every time I'm hearing Statlander, that is all I hear in my head, is Malachi. I go, just, Outlander!
And there's also Shanna, who was introduced a couple of weeks back for the first time. And it seems like both of those wrestlers have now been signed by the company. I think Statlander's one was sort of broken yesterday on Twitter.
Yeah, and Shanna's All Elite as well now. And they announced they've signed Big Swole, who's been doing a lot of stuff on AEW Dark.
So, like, the AEW have the sort of... The women talent pool globally has been completely gutted by WWE because of the two Mae Young Classics. They just signed everyone, and they've got the resources to do so. And AEW really should have realised that the amount of female talent available to them wasn't going to be there when they started to sort of push their vision of women's wrestling in all the PR announcements. So, yeah, we're now stuck in a bit where relatively inexperienced women wrestlers are getting signed, but it's working. Like the stuff with... So it was Nyla Rose took on Levi Bates.
Levi Bates. It's not Levi Jeans.
Levi's. I can't get anyone's name. I'm like JR. on this show. And it was, like, for my money... It was a really... That was one of the best squash matches on TV in a while, actually.
I was going to say, I mean, this week we've had 6 squash matches across 2 shows, and this was the best one.
Yeah, and it was. So we haven't really seen much of Nyla Rose since losing it All Out. So, no, it's the first episode to Rio.
She's been a lot on Dark.
Mm. And it's just Nyla beating up both of the librarians to quite brutal effect.
Yeah, so it was a match between her and Bates, but Peter Avalon kept trying to get involved, and like Bates would try to hit her with a book, and then she gave them both a double choke slam.
Great.
And then gave the Beast Bomb to Bates for the win. Really, really good showing for Nyla Rose. She looked awesome in this segment.
And they showed a clip, it was of last week, wasn't it, that Nyla Rose beat up Shanna in a meet and greet before the episode. And at the end of this match, was it in the commercial break as well?
No, Shanna ran down before the commercial break to do the attack. And then Nyla Rose laid her out. And then you had the, we're going to ad break, but stick around, picture in picture, we're going to keep track of what's going on here. And during the commercial break, Nyla Rose got a table. She sort of like was saying, like, hey, Rick Knox, it's fine. Everything's okay. No, you go through a table. And then
the referee.
Yeah. And then she powerbombed Shanna on top of the referee through the carcass of the table to stand tall.
I always cringe when I see a powerbomb onto someone now. It was TM61, wasn't it?
Yeah. Something like that.
Who got the Authors of Pain did it to them, and their heads just collided when they came down.
Yeah, I think it was.
Oh, it was.
I can't remember who it was.
It was definitely a tag team that looked a lot like them.
Yeah, I think it might have been NXT, like, enhancement talents.
Yeah.
Who you might be thinking of.
Yeah, it could be.
I can't quite remember.
But it was just like this brutal looking injury. It sort of makes me cringe whenever that spot happens. But this was safe. So that happened in the break. And then they showed us a recap of what happened in the break later on. And that they said Nyla's been suspended.
Yep.
It's a good way to put over amongst the character. And they cut to Britt Baker in the crowd doing the exact same shot of when Adam Cole took that big bump in War Games in Chicago. So that was a nice reference.
It was fun, yeah.
And it's the sort of reference that, for insiders, there's a lot of fun there, but they're not directly saying, WWE joke!
Yeah, totally.
So I've seen some people be like, oh, AEW need to just focus on them. I'm like, yeah, but this stuff is really harmless.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
I quite enjoyed it. But that's good. I thought that whole segment was really good. The only thing I would have preferred is they sort of recap what happened in the break immediately after the break.
Yeah, I agree. But then by doing so, does that then undermine you sticking around for the ad break? Because you could still flick over from the ad break and then float back and you'll just recap it.
I guess so. Yeah, it's an awkward one. It's like Super Chats in an episode. Is there any right answer?
It is a difficult situation, I suppose. But, you know, it's a situation they've created for themselves to do it this way.
And then later on, we had Chris Statlander versus Shida. Now, I love Shida.
Is it? I might be off base with this one, but it feels like certainly for the last number of weeks. Is this the first time we've had 2 women's matches on an episode of Dynamite?
Mm, I think so.
Yeah.
It's usually like, here's one tag.
That's it, yeah. Or here is our singles match. Yeah. And I might be wrong on that, but it feels like it's been weeks since we've had 2.
And Chris Statlander last week was a sort of her debut.
That was
wasn't
her Dynamite debut. She's been on Dark, but it was her Dynamite debut.
And she's really good. She's really got something. She's really tall. She's tattooed all over.
Yeah, she's an alien.
Yeah,
that's her gimmick, is that she is an alien.
And she showed a lot more character this week. Last week she was here as a new person, kind of like when Shanna first debuted. But this week she was getting up, she was being a bit cocky. This great spot where she cartwheeled round for ages, then an eye poke.
Yeah.
Good heel.
I don't think it's an eye poke. I think it's just like, she was doing it to Aubrey Edwards as well when she was making her entrance. It's almost like a, I'm probe.
Yeah.
That's almost what it feels like.
I'm not that into the alien gimmick.
Neither am I.
But, you know, I would just prefer her to be a normal person. But it was still, this was a fun match, and the crowd got super, super into it.
Yeah, got really into it, yeah.
Some great near falls.
I thought this match was awesome. Yeah. I really, really liked it. I think Hikaru Shida is so good. A lot of it did take place during the ad break, but again, sort of the benefit of that picture-in-picture is that you were actually sort of like fixated in on the action, what was going on. And Statlander really has got something. She is new, but she does feel like she's got something. And as I said, like, she does really good. They were doing some amazing action within this during the commercial break. And then it was just a series of near falls at the end. Like the big running knee strike. I thought
That was a great near fall.
I walked into the thing and Shida was going to win because they were really putting over the fact that she is currently ranked number 1 in the women's power ranking. So I was like, this is a really good way to put over Shida. And to kind of like continue that and maybe push her towards Rio, because Rio's not been seen for a while now. I'm assuming she's off in Japan. But then Chris Statlander hit the sort of package tombstone for the win, and she's now pinned to the number one contender. So they were putting her, it was like, man, what a massive upset.
And they did such a good job there, because I'm not really invested in the women's division. Not because I'm a misogynist, just because I'm a misogynist.
I was going to say, that's just part of the reason.
It's because AEW have really not given us any reason to care about the women's division, I would argue. But or anything good, at least.
Yeah.
But when that happened, I was like, but Sheeta's the number one contender. She's top of the power rankings.
Yeah.
So I thought they did a really good job of making that feel important. Unfortunately,
yeah.
that like genuinely great win for Statlander, the shock that Sheeta could have sold. Oh my God, I've lost to this essentially a rookie. Completely undermined by easily the worst thing on the show.
Yeah.
And like probably the only consistently bad thing in AEW.
So,
because Dark Order have sorted themselves out.
Yeah, so the report is Brandi wants to be a heel. For my money, it makes no sense for her to be a heel. Because Cody is such a good babyface. You would just want to have those two together as the sort of like great babyface power couple.
Yeah.
But Brandi wants to work heel. Which creates this awkward dynamic when Cody is doing his promo earlier in the show, being like, you know, hey, my wife's off doing crazy stuff. Don't know what's going on there. Kind of, it makes it really muddled. And it's just not getting over. And it really doesn't help that their gimmick is the Dark Order's gimmick. And so, and you've got like the Butcher, Blade, and Bunny doing this sort of like dark, we're a bit creepy stuff as well. So, having one of them's bad enough, but now you've got three of them. And they've got a new addition to this faction.
Well, if that turns out,
well, she is a wrestler.
Thing. Yeah,
and they were posed backstage, and apparently she was tagged. I figured that this was like the newest member of the Nightmare Collective.
Well, let's go through it. So yeah. Statlander wins. We're celebrating. Lights cut out, and then Brandi Rhodes and
Awesome Kong
walk down to the ring. Of course, they've been sort of jumping people, other women in the division, and cutting off their hair for a few weeks now. They get into the ring, and Brandi cuts such a flat WWE main roster like promo.
It sounded so rehearsed.
It sounded awful. And it's like, and if this was on main roster, Raw and SmackDown, I wouldn't have cared. Like, it fits totally in. But because the promo quality on this show is so high, this stuck out like a sore thumb. And it was really clunky dialogue. Like, surely people, that was a scripted promo, and surely there are more eyes on that, and people go, that's really awkward exposition. It was honestly verbatimly as bad as this. We are the Nightmare Collective. What is the Nightmare Collective? It was bad storytelling.
I think it was designed to be that way, though. Like, I genuinely, because I think her character is that she's this eloquent, very well spoken, using a lot of big words and I don't think it works personally, but I think that's the design of it. I think that's the character that she is, or the character that she's playing. But for me, it's because it's so obviously rehearsed. Like, Jericho's promos don't feel rehearsed. Cody's promo. God, what a promo
really
it was.
Good.
Doesn't feel rehearsed. This felt so rehearsed. But again, I wonder if that's by design.
It
didn't work for me.
Look, just off the top of my head, a character whose whole gimmick is being quite eloquent and well-spoken, Damian Sandow.
Yeah.
So he would deliver similar...
Or like early days Vince McMahon, before he became Mr. McMahon, where he was, I do not agree with you, Mr. Austin. That Vince McMahon.
But they had a sort of charisma or an it. I don't know what it is, but some people have it and some people don't. And I hate to say this because Brandi's great, but I don't think she's good enough to be an on-screen character in this company beyond I'm the commissioner of the women's division, you two fight each other.
Yeah.
Like, this character stuff just isn't working. And it jars, like you said, with whenever Brandi crops up in a Road to whatever pay-per-view Cody segment.
And it doesn't help that the Dark Order are literally doing this exact same gimmick.
Yeah.
We had, 3-4 weeks ago, Evil Uno trying to recruit Marco Stunt to be a creeper. Yeah. We had literally this segment just a few weeks ago.
So yeah, what happened is they get in the ring and they try and get Statlander to join them, the Nightmare Collective, which is... There's only so many... The Dark Order's a cool name, but the Butcher, the Blade and the Bunny is a cool name. The Nightmare Collective sounds like 12-year-old me came up with it. And this person in the crowd just was like, "I know, I want to do it." And it came across as so phony. She gets up on the apron, they cut off her ponytail, and then they walk off picture in picture, sort of happy. It really didn't work. The crowd were not into it. It's unfortunately and it's really bad optics, in my opinion. The only proper story in the women's division right now is one featuring a co-executive vice. Well, no, but like someone in a high level position.
Chief branding officer.
Yeah, chief branding officer in the company. And compared to like how all the other sort of co-executive vice presidents, obviously Brandy isn't one, but she's in that group, have actively stop themselves from being the focal, most important part of their divisions. You've now got Brandy doing it when she's not good enough.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, man. This segment did not work. And for me, aside from the fact that it is just copy and paste of the Dark Order, which I think is a real issue, it took away from Sheeda's loss and Statlander's win.
Mm.
All of a sudden, we're not talking about that now. We're talking about this clunky segment that came after it, where we should be talking about, it's like, oh my God, the number one contender just got pinned by this rookie. What does that now mean for the power rankings? Who's Rio going to be facing at the next set of shows? Is she going to be around for the... Because we've only got two more live shows before the end of the year. So it's a real shame that this is... So what we're left with. For me, it was the only bad thing on the show.
Yes.
But it wasn't just like it was the only bad thing on the show. It was like so far worse than anything else on the show that it actually really annoyed me a little bit.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
So thank you to our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon who have given $25 a month or more. You're going to get a cheap pop and a wrestling name right here. Luke's favorite fan, the one, the only, the awesome Bubba.
Yes, thank you. Nice. Ooh. No one names their kid this anymore. Larry!
It's not there. That Alpha, Kenny Body Slam.
Oh, Body Slam. Heroic Hector Mercado.
Woohoo! The 99%er, Garrett Vandercrift.
Oh, good name, mate. The Mayor of Painesville, Dan.
Dan.
Dan. Dan. Dan. Dan. Dan.
I'm not eligible to get a case of craft beer. De Leon, the man of many names.
He is indeed. Badassasaurus Rex Joseph Calmarin.
Love that name. That's one of my favourites. Andy Datton's number one fan, Tomo. It's my least favourite.
Yep. Rob Steiner Recliner.
Whoa.
Oh, yes.
Yo, Adrian Rocky.
Yep. Yep. And my personal favourite of my nicknames, Bad Connection, Thomas Lagden. Lagden. Yeah.
So I put up the our usual poll. Let me just refresh it. We've had 10,000 votes, and that is what is better, AEW or, well, 11,000 now. What was better this week, Dynamite or NXT? And NXT beat Dynamite with 63%. It's huge.
That's another big win for NXT there.
And interestingly, well, it's, so up until when AEW were winning, like in the ratings, when we did these polls, AEW was slightly winning overall. So it was like 52% to 48%.
Yeah.
Ever since NXT has started to win in the ratings.
It's pretty much since like Survivor Series, yeah.
Yeah. The week before with the Brawl,
mm-hmm.
it's gone the complete, like NXT has massively overtaken them in terms of what our audience, I suppose, votes on.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't say that the difference is that stark. But that just, yeah, that's what the, yeah. Keith Lee, though. Freaking yeah, that Keith, have you seen that Keith Lee bit where he stands up behind Finn Balor? My God.
He's I saw someone call him the gift that keeps on giving.
Anyway, this episode of Dynamite, I think will probably win in the ratings just because it was pure fire from the get-go. There was no commentators at the top. Here's what's going on today's show. It was straight into this six-man tag that did not let up.
This six-man tag was awesome. I call it in my four-minute review, the perfect opener. And it was the perfect opener. You would have this on any indie show around the world. You would have this level of fun six-man tag. But you've also got the star power in there of the Young Bucks and Dustin Rhodes versus Proud and Powerful and Sammy Guevara. So you've got six big names in there, and they were just doing fun spot after fun spot after fun spot after fun spot. It was a joy to behold.
Yeah, it was a weird mixture of just amazing athleticism, actual blood feud, like actual serious blood feud, and a heck load of comedy spots.
Yeah.
And none of them undermined each other. If anything, only strengthened it all. I thought it was fantastic. I think, like, actually, really, on the overall scale, this is just a 4-star match in general. But for this kind of match, an opener, a fun match,
on TV,
a six-man tag on TV, for what it set out to do, it's 5-star.
It was absolutely brilliant. It was just so much fun. And Dustin did the... what it might be my new favorite spot of his. He did this on Dark a few weeks ago as well, and it was in the 8-man, where he does his 2 power slams, but then gets blown up because he's a bit older now. He's not the natural of old, natural in the the late 80s and early 90s. So he has to stop him and go like, sorry, I'm going to catch my breath, while Sammy Guevara's then going like, huh, what? So just give me a second, I just need to catch my breath. Okay, good, I'm going. And then instantly back up, power slam, and just does, and he stands up, and he's, you know, it's suckering the heels in for a laugh. And it is comedy that really works, and the crowd lapped it up.
Yeah, we should probably say what the match was. It was the Young Bucks and Dustin Rhodes taking on Proud and Powerful and Sammy Guevara. And like you said, Dustin, he brings just all that comedy, but like a sort of veteran respect as well to the match. The Young Bucks are just
insane.
They call him the natural. And Nick Jackson was just jumping everywhere. Matt Jackson had this terrific, is it Northern Lights?
Yeah.
It's just like a Northern Lights chain sequence. And then he does it on 2 of them. And then when the 3, it sort of falls down. But for me, and this is so weird, because when I first saw Sammy Guevara, wasn't really familiar with him. before AEW. I thought, well, that's like a Carrillo, right? He's a high flyer and you slowly get him over. Incorrect. He's a character.
Yeah.
He's like, his off spot selling. So like, you know, when someone else is, the focus is somewhere else on the moves, Sammy's nearby, his selling, just in general, all the time, is perfect for what his character is. And that is, he's a bit of a goofball.
Yeah.
But he can beat you up. There's one point where he tries to vlog him doing a shooting star press, and he eats a super kick.
Yeah, he gets
two super kicks.
Yeah, for a super kick party from the Bucks.
It was like Sammy Guevara was absolutely fantastic for me in this.
And I loved the combination that they did of setting it, I think it was Guevara in the corner, so that Dustin could do Shattered Dreams while the Bucks were also doing super kicks on him. Lovely little finisher. And then to cap it all off, the finish of this match was a double Meltzer driver while Nick Jackson was also doing a senton splash. Ridiculous. I loved it. Loved it.
Yeah, it was like Matt and Dustin had
they had the Proud and Powerful
in the tombstone position, and Nick jumps off, drop kicks both heads of them, and hits the senton on Guevara behind him and pins Guevara for the win. A great match. Great match. And there were no ad breaks in it. So it just flew by. It was 15 minutes long. Loved it.
Which is what AEW were doing in their first few weeks, was doing no ad breaks to start off with. And they would pepper the ad breaks much later.
Yeah.
I just loved it. I thought I've written here, what a match. What a finish. Loved it.
Yeah. Then Tony Schiavone's back, or Schiavone as Schiavone. Chris Jericho pronounced his name wrong once. And they run through the card. And they're running through the card, and I'm like, oh, man.
What a stacked old card this was. We had Christopher Daniels versus Pentagon Jr. Brandi Rhodes will speak. Nyla Rose will be in action. Chris Jericho will speak. Joey Janela versus Jon Moxley is tonight's main event. But coming up next, it's Trent versus Rey Fénix of the Lucha Brothers.
Yeah, and this is continuing the story of Trent picking up wins over both Pentagon and Fénix in back-to-back weeks. So here he was against Fénix here.
Good looking to pick up the sweep.
Yeah, this was a really good match.
Yeah.
Like, really, really solid. And Fénix is just... I mean, I'm a broken record. Fénix is incredible.
Yeah, that's my first notes here. Rey Fénix is insane. Yeah. Like, he's... The way he moves around the ring, it is effortless to him. Mm. He walks those ropes like it's nothing. Like, those aren't... They're not that thick. But when he walks across them, they're like 4 foot wide. Mm. There's no even like air of, oh, you might fall there. Like, it just never occurs to you.
Yeah, and sometimes that, like, when I'm worried about people messing up spots, that takes me out of the match. I never get that with him. I got it with the Bucks in the Bucks and
in the Ladder Wars match.
But it was never because of Fénix or Pentagon, weirdly. But the there was this. He ran across that top rope like a tightrope as Trent was draped over it and just kicked him in the head.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
I love the double stomp onto Trent and make him face plant into the apron. That was a really good spot.
Fénix was definitely the more impressive here. Mm-hmm. Trent got a nice bits in, but Fénix hit the Mexican muscle buster for the win. And yeah, it just, I don't know. So cool. Love the match. I don't really know after the last 3 weeks what's been achieved here.
No.
If I was to take an overall view of this.
Because I figured that Trent would pick up the win here, get that sweep against them, and then you would do, challenge them. Because currently the Lucha Brothers are the number one. They're ranked number one in the tag rankings, I believe. They were. But the loss last week to the Best Friends knocked them down to number four. So I thought maybe they'll get another loss here, and then the Lucha Brothers have to try and get the wins back so they could continue climbing back up the power rankings. But yeah, Fénix just picked up another win. I was like, oh, okay. And then afterwards, they did the spot where Trent was going to shake. This is all an ad break where he wanted to shake Phoenix's hand, but he didn't want it, so they brawled. So it feels like this feud must continue.
Yeah.
But I don't know where, what for. Unless you're going to do the Lucha Brothers versus Best Friends, looking to reclimb the power rankings.
And I guess that's one of the criticisms against AEW, was that all they sometimes... This is such a weird criticism to do. Like, if you told me just 3 years ago that this was a thing you'd have a problem with, Ollie, I'd tell you to go away. And that is, sometimes AEW just do great wrestling.
Do you know what? There's no pleasing some people.
I know, right?
There's no pleasing some people.
It's like, man, I love that Trent Phoenix match and that Pentagon Jr. Phoenix match, Trent match. And the one after that. But yeah, what was the point? So I don't know. Then we got a Cody promo. All the pyro for Cody.
Yeah.
A huge scar on his forehead. It's so gruesome. I can't believe it was. I thought it was a work.
I remember you texting me being like, oh, now it's totally a work. And it's I don't think it was.
Well, it's just the way, cause, yeah, Jericho is in the way of the camera when it happens at full gear, but bloody hell. And I like how Tony Schiavone is kind of Cody's personal interviewer.
Yeah.
So Tony's in the ring to interview him. And he started off talking about the Butcher Blade and the Bunny, who sort of jumped.
They jumped him last week.
Cody last week. That was their debut. And also MJF. And as soon as he said those two things, I was like, ah. Yeah, you've split the story, haven't you?
Well, because MJF is refusing to fight him. Mm. So it's a way to kind of like artificially extend this MJF thing, because you want to make it through to a pay-per-view rather than do it on a TV episode.
Yeah.
So it's a way to, artificially extend that feud across TV. But I like it because it's a way to get new talent over. And I thought Cody did a really good job here of getting this talent over, because what he essentially said was, he said Butcher, Blade, Bunny, and then went across their other names. It's like, whatever names you want to use. I know who you are. I've seen you in bar wrestling. I've seen you in beyond wrestling. So that naming all of these things, which I thought was really nice, because it almost felt like what he was saying was, it's your fault, fans, that you don't know who they are. Mm. But if you're like me,
JR.
if you're a wrestling fan like me, you'd know who these people are.
Yeah.
And he said, you could have just asked for a match. I would have given you one.
I like that.
But, I appreciate the pomp and circumstance of wrestling. I mean, look at my entrance. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was great.
Yeah, it's just like, I guess you could argue the content of what he was saying was slightly heelish, but then he self-depreciated himself like that. And you're like, you're still my bro.
Yeah.
You're still my brother.
And then turns to MJF and said, I loved what he kind of said about MJF, which is like, everyone told me that you were a bad guy. And I knew you were a bad guy, but you were my bad guy. Like, I saw you as a potential, but really, you're just an NWO. What was it? An NWO, but a Bush League NWO version of Chris Jericho.
Yeah, that was great. And he starts going through all the faults that people said to him.
Yeah,
why you shouldn't choose MJF. That he's too small.
Yep.
And then did you pick up on the? That he said, you do the worst crossroads on two shows now, two different channels, which is a reference to MJF's crossroads from last week, but also, I guess, Damian Priest's finisher on NXT.
Is that what it was?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Someone on NXT uses a sort of crossroads.
Yeah, I think it is Priest. I didn't realize that was a shot at him, though.
Well, when he says on two channels,
there
aren't many other.
Yeah, you're right.
Who else would he be talking about?
You're absolutely right.
So that was the other reference. I thought that's the bad version of the other wrestling.
I mean, I'm thick that I didn't pick it up, but you're absolutely right. It is the worst of the two.
Yeah,
but
it's always Cody that's doing them.
Yeah, Cody loves it.
But then he goes into interviews and says, "I want to stand on my own."
Yeah, well, it's the same. Everyone keeps saying, "Well, it's not a war. We're not at war," but you are.
Yeah.
So just say, we're at war with each other.
Yeah,
we're
then there's warring, no claims of hypocrisy.
We're warring over the TV ratings. Mm. We're trying to get as many wrestling fans to watch our shows, as opposed to being like, yeah, but it's not really a competition.
It's just as soon as you say that and you lose, then people can say, huh, and you're competing and you lost. Right now, it doesn't matter if they win and lose in the version of this narrative.
But you have to pick your lane on this.
I know. Well,
You either totally say, it's not a war, and then you never reference the other show, or you say it is a war,
and
you take shots.
Start reading out spoilers. So, the MJF, there was another line. Honestly, Cody's promo was really good.
It's fabulous.
He's really good at delivering them. He's so personable. But then he says, MJF says he'll never wrestle me. I don't deal in absolutes. And I was like, you set up a match where you'll never wrestle for the title. You're either doing an amazing bit of long-term storytelling there where you're going to turn heel and go back on that, or that's inconsistent as well. It's weird because Cody seems to really script out his stuff. Even when he was back in WWE, he'd do a lot of like Grant Morrison references or Zelda references in his promos.
Well, he had a Zelda reference here when he pulled out his car keys. Big Legend of Zelda Triforce logo on a keychain. Offers up his car, offers up a watch. This was so 1980s NWA of just like, I'm a wrestler, I have all the money, I've got the really fancy watch, the very fancy shoes, the very fancy car, bring me in mine briefcase filled with all mine money.
Well, but isn't that nice?
I know!
To see these wrestlers as larger than life. Yeah, wow, what a job you've got.
And he shoots it in his house, and it's this beautiful, lavish house. It's brilliant.
And it's not where Kevin Owens is like, oh, man, that 100 grand is going to affect my kids' college
fund.
I
need this job, man.
I do like that. And then he says, like, look, there's 50 grand in here. Give $100 to that kid over there.
That little kid there.
And the kid was dressed up in a suit. What's that? He was dressed up as someone.
Well, he was Clementine Cassidy.
That's it. Yeah. And the kid just like holds it up to the screen, no selling it like Orange Cassidy would.
Yeah.
Then he said, let's do this, and sort of walked out.
Name your price.
The other bad thing, we alluded to it earlier, was that he had quite a nice narrative of where he said, look, everyone I used to rely on has kind of left me. MJF has kicked me in the balls. My brother Dustin is in this blood feud with
the Inner Circle.
And my wife is now just cutting off defenseless women's hair. I thought, you need to reference that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work. No. And this is a problem of your own creation.
Absolutely.
Right, after that, we got Alex Marvez interviewing Joey Janela backstage. Marvez, of course, was once going to be the lead play-by-play guy, but it's
a better position for him.
It didn't work out because he wasn't experienced enough. This was really nicely filmed. It had a depth of field where it looked a lot more cinematic. The background was out of focus. And Joey Janela cuts a promo on Moxley. You know, this time we had a match before, unsanctioned, didn't count. This time you're going to have to kill me. Then Mox just walks in, looks at him and goes, kids. And that's so tough. Like, you completely undermined everything he was saying, but I still want to see the match.
Yeah.
Don't know how it works, but it did. Then another Dark Order promo.
Yeah. A YouTube commenter was typing away. And he joins one of the Creepers. Like, he joins the Creepers, right? They're sort of like in this field, and there's sort of like these fire poles and everything. And he says, why do you want to join the Dark Order? He says, I want revenge. He's like, well, then you're in. He gives him the Creeper mask. And then we see what we think is the same kid.
It's the same guy.
So it's the same guy from the first promo into last week's into here. And he says, why do you want to join the Dark Order? And he says, I just want friends.
I broke my heart, that did.
It broke my heart too. Not Evil Uno's heart though, because he was like, sick him, boys. Yeah. He just went over to Grayson and like whispers him to Grayson. And then Grayson kicked him and the Creepers went and started crawling at him. And then you get the wicked sort of montage thing of sort of like these politicians, these people in high business positions are all part of the Dark Order, and you get their new logo. It's good stuff, man. Really, really like it. It's way better than Nightmare Collective.
So much better. So just do one of them. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really good stuff. Then we got the Nyla Rose Bates match, which we've already gone through. Then probably my favorite thing on the show.
Love this.
Chris Jericho Le comes Champion. Down. With Hager, who's dressed all in burgundy.
Someone, I can't remember who it was, tweeted me saying, he has just come off the set of a Giacomo advert. It's what he is.
Big clothes for big man.
It is a big clothes for big man. He's either come from Sports Direct or most likely Giacomo.
Yeah, Jericho does all the heel stuff because people were cheering him, so bury your hometown. Yep. Talked about £12,000. That's of weight, not currency, I assume, of bubbly being sold. Still pushing that. And then
did we buy our bottles for the Christmas show?
No, we didn't. We should do that. Jericho then said, I'm contractually obliged to have one more title match in 2019.
Was it a title match? I thought it was just one more match.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just I'm contracted to have one more match in AEW for 2019. Yeah.
Which I think is a great heel, like, mechanic there.
Yeah.
It's just a really nice way to justify why he would be had like, oh, I've got to do it. And I love that setup.
But he's got a list. Well, it's not a list. Get out of 2016. It's a stupid gimmick. This is a lexicon of Le Champion.
I think it was Excalibur said, I don't think that word means what he thinks it means. Because lexicon, you know, that's not.
No.
That's wrong. But that's, like, I saw some people saying on online that, well, that's not what lexicon means. I was like, he's working
that's
you!
That's the joke. Like, that's why it works. It's also brilliant that he hates fans for wanting him to go back to an old gimmick. He's like, I'm not going to go back to an old gimmick. That's a stupid thing to do. And he's gone back to an old gimmick. But in his mind, it's a new gimmick. And so he's completely justified in what he's doing. I thought it was a wonderful touch.
So, like, just already, it's fantastic. So, like, Jericho is a genius. This is obviously coming from him. Maybe Jimmy Jacobs as well. I don't know, because they used to work together on the list.
He's an impact.
He is an impact, yeah, you're right. But then the actual gag, that was all just a setup. The actual gag is Jericho runs through a list of all the people he's not going to face.
I called it in my review, it's a combination of the 1004 holds gimmick from WCW and the list of Jericho. So he'll just say, like, Cody, and then we'll have six other names that are Cody related. Not like wrestling related, but he'll just say five other people that are called Cody, and then we'll go, John Moxley, Kenny Omega, Kenny from South Park, Kenny Loggins, da 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 da. John Moxley, and then we'll go on to the next person. The Young Bucks, the Silly Bucks, and just, like, we'll list off all these other people. He just rattled this off, and it just got better and better and better the more it went, but he just kept saying Moxley's name as if to reiterate. He was Armbar.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Armbar. And then he starts roasting people in the audience. He's like, that guy over there in the fifth row.
That guy badly eating popcorn, not him.
Like, this has mileage. Like, just, and it's weird, like, Jericho has done so many things. Like, each week he's got a genuinely, he's got a new scarf, effectively.
Yeah.
The thing with Hager, sorry. That's amazing. A little bit of the bubbly. I hope this comes out. This isn't just a one-off. Because you can run through a list of all the stuff he's not going to do. It doesn't just have to be people he's going to face. It could be all the stuff I'm not going to do in your stupid hometown. It's great concept. And it's different. But it's not, he's a genius.
And the segment only got better for me because Jurassic Express came down and I marked out.
Yeah.
I absolutely marked out when I saw Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Marco Stunt came down. They might be my favorite act in this company. I just find them so visually appealing.
Yeah.
And just a wonderful, I want to be friends with them. Like, when I look at that act, I'm like, I want to be part of that group. I wish I could be friends with those people.
But not from how me and Cody are brothers. More from I want to hang out with you, but I want to be a kid again too. Like, they've got an almost fantasy world that just exists in a bubble.
Yeah. And they walk down and they get into the ring and Jericho says, well, I'm not fighting a dinosaur or a kid either. And then Luchasaurus was like, oh, you'd expect me to roar, wouldn't you?
Wait, roars first.
Yeah. That's not how I talk. I've got a bachelor's degree. I said, but I was not expecting us to be on this.
In medieval history, I think it
was. Yeah. But I wasn't expecting to be on this list. Dinosaurs have been marginalized for 65 million years.
Very funny.
Very funny.
And you know what? Luchasaurus is good on the mic. He had good timing, I thought.
I like the fact that he said Marco's done. Yeah, sure, he's small for his age. Chris Jericho goes, Marco's done is small for any age.
That's just a great joke. Like, you'd find that on a properly scripted sitcom. It's really good writing. I wouldn't have had Luchasaurus speak.
Yeah, okay.
If I was to be hypercritical about this, and it's crazy because, like, he's good.
He's a great talker.
But, you know, like, would you have had Kane speak? If it was up to you, would you ever have had Kane speak more than a few lines the whole of his career?
But he was also a monster heel, and Luchasaurus is not a monster heel.
No, you're right. But I think they now can't have Luchasaurus as this... And I'm going to get poncy wording here. Tabula rasa.
Bloody hell.
Like a palimpsest for people to project their own emotions onto.
Crikey.
This is Ollie dissertation.
Isn't it just?
Film theory Ollie.
It makes my dissertation seem like a big pile of pants.
But it's just like, you know, sometimes you need... That's why masked characters are so appealing to children. It's because they can sort of project their own vision and identity. It's why shadows are so terrifying. Because you project your fears. Everything in your head is going to be more scary or better than what actually happens in real life. because of expectations. So I just thought for the sort of character that Luchasaurus is, which weirdly in my head was always, you are a literal dinosaur who wrestles.
But that's the joke, is that he's the intelligent one.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't have had Jungle Boy speak.
Sure.
Because the way they've always done it on Being the Elite is that Jungle Boy's the mute, but you expect him to be the one that talks, whereas Luchasaurus is the one that talks, and that's the gag.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that gag so many times before. I've also seen the big guy is actually secretly really intelligent. Mm-hmm. It's like just something WWE keep going back
Eric
to.
Eric Rowan. Again and again. It was Eric Rowan's original gimmick when he left the Wyatt family.
I've seen it enough. It can work, but that version, and I'm being hypercritical here because I did love this segment, that version compared to, you know, Phoenix getting this match. No, that version compared to Luchasaurus just being the dinosaur in my head. I think the dinosaur is the much better gimmick.
I'm going to disagree with you on this one because I think it was great.
But anyway, Jungle Boy, well, Jericho calls Jungle Boy a piece of S-word.
Yeah, just lays it out there.
And Jungle Boy takes the mic, says he's going to kick Jericho's ass, slaps him, babyfaces clear house, and Jericho throws a tantrum, starts throwing stuff into the ring.
Marco Stunt just throws it back towards him.
A match is made for December 18th.
The last live show of AEW in 2019.
And also, you know where it is? It's Corpus Christi.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Historically a terrible wrestling crowd for WWE. But one that they did go there this year and they were really, really good. But yeah, apparently ticket sales were struggling. So I don't know if that was always the plan. Or something they thought, oh, we need to shift a few more tickets.
Yeah.
But great, great, great idea. Really good match. Do you see anything in Jungle Boy's face? And do you see a bit of Andy Datson's face in Jungle Boy?
Oh, now that you've said it.
I can't believe I said that out loud.
Because that's why they like Jungle Boy, because he's a good-looking kid. He's got a wicked head of hair as well. Obviously, you know, he's the son of Luke Perry.
Mm. I'm just getting a picture of Jungle. You see what I mean? You see that face?
Sort of. In a way.
That one. That's the one. He looks like that.
I can actually see it, you know. Particularly in that picture. Not in every picture. No, but in that picture in particular, very much so. Yep, and that one too.
That's the... So it seems that Gormless looking photos of Jungle.
But he's not posing for the camera.
Only kidding, Datsun. I'd be honoured to be compared to...
I'm just going to quickly put over Marco Stunt here. Did you see the spot from last week's, or this week's AEW Dark? It was Jungle Express in there with the Inner Circle and the ending shot of the night. And it's so hard to describe, but it's wonderful. Sammy Guevara is sort of like bent over, woozy, and Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy have Marco Stunt in sort of like a seesaw thing. And they're back, forth. They throw him over. Marco Stunt grabs him, Canadian Destroyer.
Oh, wow.
I saw it. Someone had like filmed it on their phone after Dark, during the Dark match segment last week. So it was being shared around. I was like, I'm not even sure how this spot works. And I watched it on Dark this week. I was like, it's even better than I imagined.
After that, we got Statlander versus Shida with the Nightmare Collective thing. Mm. And after that, we got Daniels versus Pentagon. I really enjoyed this match.
Yeah, slight botch towards the end. I wasn't sure if it was intentional or not. But yeah, I really liked it.
I think it's just because, and they put it over a lot on commentary, this is Daniels' first singles match since June.
Yeah, it was it was on Fighter Fest, I think, when he faced off against Shima.
And I love Pentagon. I think that's been put across quite a bit.
You hide it so well.
I didn't realise how much I also love Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, you know, like one of my favorite wrestling memories of the last couple of years is him winning the ROH title at the 15th anniversary show.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Christopher Daniels. And that's sort of been lost in the SCU shuffle for me.
Yeah, I hear that, yeah. Because, I love Daniels. So, you know, it's a long-standing adoration for Daniels as well. When I think back, you've been watching this guy for 20 years now, 20 plus years. That's a long time to be watching someone wrestle. But at the same time, I never look at him and be like when you look, and it's Rey Mysterio's the same way. I was thinking about this the other day, that it's so funny that Rey Mysterio is one of the most pushed acts on Raw, and the guy who got Rey's start in the US, is Paul Heyman, who's running Raw at the moment. Like, that's the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And here we are. About to go into 2020, and Rey Mysterio is still being pushed as one of these top stars. But I never look and be like, God, you've been wrestling since the mid-90s. And Daniels is that same way. You don't look at Daniels and be like, you were wrestling for WCW in its dying days.
Yeah, and this was the first match where I really realized that I love the entrance ramp.
Yeah. I think this is the first time they've had it go flush.
So they had it for Full Gear, but yes. This was on Dynamite. So it's the entrance ramp is, yeah, I guess flush is the best way to describe it, on level with the ring. So you've got a new thing to play with. You've got another place to do spots. And I thought Daniels and Pentagon made use of that sort of prop really well. But yeah, I really enjoyed this match. There's a bit of interference at the end. Phoenix put in the mic stand. Daniels hit the Fallen Angel, but
the Angel's Wings.
Sorry, Angel's Wings, but it didn't. That's where the botch came in.
When he went to do the Arabian Moonsault on the outside, and when he went to flip his legs up, he got caught on the top rope and just sort of fell down. Commentators covered up for it, saying like it's his back because that's what's been worked over. And so I thought they covered for it quite nicely, but the crowd I think recognized that it was a botch. But Phoenix did use the distraction with the mic stand. Daniels hit the Angel's Wings for a visual pin, but the referee was distracted by Phoenix. And then Daniels got the mic stand, teased using it, threw it to the side. That distracted the referee. Low blow by Pentagon and the package power driver for the win. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I liked it. Then we got a Bunny Blade and Butcher promo backstage. They've got a great look.
Yes, really, really strong.
I'm not into them.
I'm well into this act, I've got to say. I don't know, I appear to be the only person in the world that liked that segment last week. Mm. But I'm into this act, and it might just be because I really like Ali. But I love the look of the team.
Yeah, yeah.
Really. Although I will say, as a follow-up to last week, where I said that I listen to Every Time I Die, I think that's what the band's called. And I was like, oh, it's a bit stoner rock. Turns out I only listened to one song. And that one song had a stoner rock vibe. I've listened to other stuff. I don't like it. it's not like that one track, and I do not like any of the other tracks. Sorry to say.
The main event, however, was...
Sorry, just on that one.
Oh, yes.
Because they announced during the middle of the Chris Statlander Hikaru Shida match that next week it's going to be Butch from the Blade versus Cody and QT Marshall, which kayfabe-wise makes sense, but it is the most uninspiring choice. Yeah.
Yeah. And the main event was Jay Janela versus
Jan Moxley. I love this.
Yeah.
This was wicked. I just love Mox.
Yes, that's it.
I just love him.
Consecutive. No. He wasn't the main event last week.
No.
He just came out
and I was like, oh, you're the best thing on this show.
I just feel like he's the main event. If you were to ask me what was the main event of the last five shows, I'd say probably Moxley. And that might not be true, but that he's in my head at that level as such a big force is a testament to how AEW have protected him and booked him. And again, I thought Moxley won't really be able to get over to the extent without the hardcore stuff. He's had TV 14 matches with relatively not much hardcore with Darby Allin and Joey Janela in recent weeks. Mm-hmm. And they've been awesome.
Yeah, so good. This was no exception. Absolutely amazing. I love the attempt at the paradigm shift on the ramp, but Janela reversed that into like this sort of diving reverse tornado DDT onto the apron, onto the ramp rather. Big dives by Joey. I thought it was a really good showing for Janela as well, actually. Yeah. As you know, he is also someone who has wanted to kind of shift away from, I'm not just the hardcore guy. It's like Jimmy, you know, his whole deal was like, yeah, I do hardcore, but I can also do other stuff. And I think that's what Joey was showing here. But I loved the finish of this, which was like Moxley, like Joey hits a move on Mox, and Mox has to like bail to the outside, and he's just sort of like collecting himself. All of a sudden, Joey Janela has dived over the corner ring post into Moxley, and they crash through the ringside table.
Yeah.
Just looked amazing. And then they fight back up to the top, and Moxley hits a paradigm shift into the top turnbuckle. I was like, well, he's dead. The Moxley just picks him up, paradigm shift for the win. It was wicked.
Yeah, really, really cool. And then it gets better because Jericho's music hit. The Inner Circle come through the crowd just like Moxley did at the end of last week's show at the end of the Jericho-Scorpio Sky match and stares down Moxley. What a beautiful mirror image.
Loved it.
Like really effective storytelling. And that's how you can extend feuds out and not have loads of stuff happen between those two people in an episode to make it feel like it's progressed.
And I'm so intrigued to see next week because Jericho said in his promo, Moxley's on the lexicon.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he came out to like challenge him. Did he just do it as a receipt?
Yeah.
What's his motivations? Makes me excited to see what, you know, where the storyline goes next. Yeah. Really, I loved this episode.
Easy 4 out of 5 for me.
I gave it the full 5.
No, don't blame you.
It was just that Brandi Rhodes thing that I didn't like. Everything else, though, I was on cloud 9 watching this show. Totally. Maybe that's just my AEW bias ringing through, but I'd loved it. Loved it. Before we do this, Russo Pay, I've got one of my own that follows on.
Seriously?
From the Rusev Hay that you had the other day.
Would you call that a Rusev Hay?
Well, there's been some debate about that on our Discord. And someone argued that it is because Donald Trump is a WWE Hall of Famer.
I never thought of that.
So that is technically a Rusev Hay.
Yes.
Or Rusev maybe, because you didn't really interact with him, you just saw him.
I think that counts. Rusev maybe is someone you think.
You're right.
Could have been someone. That was definitely President Trump on account of all the cars that were part of his motorcade.
Well, yesterday I was walking back from Pizza Express in the Strand.
Prince Andrew.
Walking close, actually. I was walking up towards Leicester Square, and then we got stopped by police, and some motorbikes went past, and then a car went past, and then another car went past, and all of a sudden I heard the two people stood next to me, because I did not know who these people were, went, oh my God, it's Camilla and Prince Charles.
Wow. You know who those are.
I know who Charles is. I don't think I could have picked Camilla out of a lineup.
But you're aware of the name Camilla Parker Bowles.
I am. Well, okay. Well, I didn't know it was the same person. I know that name, and I also know Camilla as a thing. I didn't realize that they
like
were the
Madonna.
Same.
Like Madonna.
Yes.
One word.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. Boris. Like, it's a one word thing. Prince.
Huh.
Yeah. So I didn't realize that was the same person. But anyway, and as we went up, I was like, just to clarify, when I tell this story tomorrow, that was Camilla and Prince Charles.
Wow.
And my wife said, yes, yeah, as a possible future King of England. And I was like, cool, well.
Eight possible in big letters.
Big letters, possible future King
All
of England.
Caps.
Yeah.
Lizzie is not going to let him take the reins. Not in a million years. That's why she's still clinging on to the throne.
And I found myself, even when telling that, had to pause and remind myself which prince it was, because you don't want to say Prince Andrews, which is the only prince I can think of currently.
Well, that's not even... I don't know if you misspoke or you don't know his name. Prince Andrew.
Is it not Prince Andrews?
No, because Prince Andrew's his first name.
Well, his first name is Prince.
Yes.
his name is Prince Andrew.
His name is Andrew.
Right, okay.
It's not like his surname like Mr. Andrews, Prince Andrews.
Okay.
It's like Prince Charles. His name is Charles.
Right, okay.
Charles Windsor, I guess.
I would assume, yeah.
Princess Queen Elizabeth II. Prince Philip. Otherwise, they'd all
Which one? Philip's the king, right? Well, he's married to the queen, yeah?
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't know you had such a gap in royal family knowledge.
I think it's more of a case I don't care.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
I think that's probably it. Like, if you'd have said Prince Philip, like, Philip is a name that I recognise, but when you put Prince in front of it, I was like, is he a different person?
You just have to say, what if I said the racist one?
I mean, still need to narrow that down
a little bit more. No, I think you can... You say the racist one. I wouldn't say any of the other members of the royal family currently are known for their racism. Charles is known for being an idiot.
Yep.
Harry for...
Being a Nazi.
Being in a relationship. William for being in a relationship. He's the husband of Kate Middleton.
Now, that's a name I know.
Wow. And so you know Kate Middleton?
Yes, because when I was working at I won't name the company I was working for, but there was a lady there who was a blogger, and her sort of side project that she was doing outside of this work was that she was a Kate Middleton lookalike.
Whoa.
So she used to do a lot of things, like she would be asked to go on to like, because she was also a Kate Middleton super fan as well. So she would like dress like Kate Middleton and then would blog about things that Kate Middleton was doing. And it just so happened she also looked like her a little bit. So she was known as like the Kate Middleton blogger.
If she was commenting on YouTube videos, it would be so-and-so Kate Middleton's number one fan.
Yes.
How we get that a lot.
Indeed.
With fans.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Any super chat?
Actually, yes, we do. Sorry.
We've got a couple of minutes.
Jaren, I was going to do your... I was gutted as well, actually. I wanted to do Jaren Walker's Rusev Hey Here because it's on an AEW podcast, which means he won't ever listen to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, some brief thoughts on Super Chats. This comes in from Brandon, who says, hello, WrestleTalk lads and gal. Let me give you my 2 cents. I see the value in Super Chats. They're a great way for the Swap Nation to interact with you guys. We all have our thoughts and opinions on the shows. For some, those opinions and thoughts are strong, and they want your guys' input on what they thought. The way you guys set it up prior to the test trial was near perfect, since I do not like the Super Chats and often skip them while listening to the podcast. You have graciously organized them into their own separate sections. The separation of the shoutouts and Super Chats allows us for skipping them using that magical 30 seconds forward button, even if you listen to the podcast on your way to work as I do. I doubt that people are driving non-stop without stopping at red lights or stop signs and are able to skip those sections. Keep them if you like and make them pounds.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we thought about doing, just very quickly, because we've got to go live in 34 seconds.
Okay, well, Oliver says, hi, Luke and Co. Following your discussion on the Raw review, just a quick email to say that it's much more enjoyable without the irritating Super Chats, quote, banter. He then says, the trial period is a success. Cheers, Oliver.
Right. Right. Well, one of the things we were thinking of doing is because I genuinely miss the Super Chats, but I also understand that it does make it... I don't enjoy how long it is.
Eve Aniel also said, please keep them.
Right. So, oh God, I just made it. We opened up the can of worms again.
And then oddly, Austin sent us an email to say that what you should do is you should have a bit of them in the middle of the show and all of them at the end.
Which is like what we used to.
Which is what we were doing.
All right. Well, we've got to go.
Yeah. So do you want to quickly chat about your... Oh, no, we've got to go live.
No.
Well, we'll bring that up on tomorrow's show then when we do the magazine show.
I'm not here.
Where are you?
I'm off. I'm working Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Who am I doing the show with?
Probably Laurie.
Oh, okay. Well, it's me and Laurie then. Me and Laurie will chat about it. Probably not, though. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.